This is PhotoBizX episode number 183, and today's special guest has built a successful photography business in quick time, not by having an individual or particular photography style. Instead, he adapts his photography to suit exactly what his clients want every single time. That interview's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. I'm looking forward to bringing you today's interview with Tony Hoffer. He is, I was going to say, half the brains behind Hoffer Photography, but there's actually a few people involved in that business. So yeah, he's got an interesting business model and the way he adapts his photography to suit his clients. One thing I would suggest is you check out the Hoffer Photography website before you even hear the interview so you can get an idea of just how good a photographer this guy is. Their work truly is stunning. It's very, very cool. In regard to me and my business, in the last episode, I mentioned that I went and saw a local real estate agent. I've set up a third-party marketing promotion with them, which I'm really excited about. Following that, I guess, announcement or me sharing that with you on the podcast, there was a conversation inside the Premium Members Facebook group about whether or not it would even be successful, looking at the fact that new house owners, when they move into a house, probably aren't thinking about having a family portrait session or even a photography shoot of any kind as soon as they move into a new house. You know, it's probably, and I do get this, the last thing on their mind. But I guess the big beauty or the standout with this particular promotion is the real estate agent will be passing on the house buyer's name and contact details so I can chase them up and remind them about the photography voucher. In saying that, the conversation went on inside the Facebook group and the suggestion was that the vendors, which was the other part of the promotion that I'm doing with this real estate agent, would be the better photography client for me in regard to sales. So that got me thinking, and I did have another real estate agent in mind to do this promotion with, because the first real estate agent that I did go and see, they focus on one area code only. So I know that I can target another real estate agent in a different area of the Central Coast where I live, and I know that there shouldn't be any crossover. But this particular agent that I've had in the back of my mind to approach for quite a while only handles rental properties. So they don't do any sales at all. It's purely rental properties. So I set up a meeting with the owner, Tennille, a different Tennille to who works with me. And we sat down and had a chat about my idea for a third-party marketing strategy with them. And initially my focus was going to be on the new house renter. So a new tenant moves into a house or a property and they receive a thank you voucher from the real estate agent or the rental agency with a voucher for photography from Impact Images. So that was the initial plan, and she wasn't sold on that. She liked the idea, but then I asked her, who actually pays your bills? You know, where do you make your money from? And again, it was the house owner, the one that was going to be leasing out the property to the tenant. And then I suggested, well, how about we create a voucher for the house owners, the property owners, and you can send them the voucher with a thank you note, thanking them for their business, and letting them know that you're thinking about them, you appreciate their business, and you're doing everything to look after them. And here's a thank you gift. Her eyes lit up. She loved that idea. She was 100% behind that one. So the plan now is for me to draft up three separate letters to go out to her clients, one being the house owners or the property owners that have been on the books for a long period of time. One is a letter for new property owners that come to this particular agency for them to manage the property. And we're going to create a third letter for their best tenants, the ones that they want to reward for being great tenants. I explained how this would work for me and that this really wouldn't work if these vouchers went to low-income earners. So we had a chat about how we're going to split that up and who's going to receive these letters. And she was totally aware and understood how this was going to work for me. And what made that even easier was she and her family had experienced a family portrait session with me a few years ago. So she knew exactly the way I shoot. She knew how we did our sales, how it's very low pressure. And she also knew what the photos look like, you know, and she has them hanging on her walls now. So I guess it wasn't a blind or cold call to set this up, But I still think this would work, you know, if it was a cold call. And if you want to try this, I definitely recommend it. I can't give you any sales figures from these two latest promotions or latest partnerships that I've set up, but I will keep you in the loop and let you know how they do go. It doesn't have to be a real estate agent. That was just something that I'm playing with, trying out. I think the options are endless in regard to forming partnerships with other business owners that are servicing your perfect client. So it's just a matter of working out who that is, setting up a meeting and going in, having a chat. It's as simple as that. And if you really are stuck or you don't know where to start or you're scared about what to say, by all means, post a question or a comment in the show notes for today's episode and I'll answer your question as best I can. Or grab hold of the ebook that I wrote on third-party marketing, which you can find at bookmoreportraits.com. And there's also a link to it in the sidebar on the photobizx.com website. In regard to the actual vouchers for the second real estate agent, so we plan to use the same voucher to accompany all three letters. They don't have to be any different. It's going to have the real estate agent's branding on the voucher along with a little bit of branding for us. But the whole idea is to make this look like a gift from the real estate agent to their clients, whether that's existing property owners on their books, whether it's new property owners that come to seek their services, or it's their best tenants that they want to reward. The voucher will look the same. It'll be for the same value. It'll just be accompanied by a different letter structured or written to suit that particular person that's receiving it. When I asked about the letters, Tennille was right behind having the three separate letters individually written for each target client. I asked if she wanted to write those letters or if she'd prefer that I write them, and she tweaked them to suit her. And of course, she jumped at that. She said, yeah, if you can do the heavy lifting, I can tweak it to suit us, but you do the letters, you do the voucher, send us the proofs to have a look. We'll tweak whatever we think needs tweaking and we'll get them out to the right people. So to me, that's win-win. And the good thing about me writing these letters is I know that it gets done quickly, and we get the whole promotion off the ground and running as soon as the vouchers are printed. So stay tuned. I'll let you know how it all goes.
And now, a macro look at our last episode.
In the last episode, I interviewed the wonderful Kristen Kaup. I absolutely love having her on the show. She is amazing. She really is. As far as takeaways for me, I think the biggest thing was how she was able to get over or get past setbacks. And, you know, the massive setback that she talked about was the $40,000 loss on running her conference. That would that would break me. I would find it hard to get past something like that. But to see Kristen, the way she bounced back and just puts those things behind her and just gets on with it, yeah, she's an inspiration. She really is amazing. I love this comment that I saw from pet photographer Helen Trineri after listening to the podcast. She says, so I'm road tripping down to Melbourne for the Appers, and I thought, what better way to start the trip than listen to Andrew's podcast? First one off the rank is Kristen Kaup. Man, oh man, I effing love this woman. It's good to know that I'm not the only one that feels the same way about Kristen. I guess one of the other things we talked about in that interview was her new course, M School. I have signed up for that course myself. I've done the first lesson. I love that it's audio because that's the way I love to consume courses or books whenever I can, or information. So I've done the first module. It was great. It really was. She's hit me with some home truths, some things I'm going to try and implement. I know they're going to be tough. The first one being when I get up in the morning, that is the time to be productive and to actually create content or do the things that I'm good at that no one else in the business can do. So whether that's writing blog posts, creating marketing, doing a photography shoot, creating a new promotion, whatever it may be that I have to do, that I have to be creative and only I can do, I need to concentrate on doing those things first in the morning, where I have a bad habit of waking up, checking emails, checking Facebook, having a look at Twitter, scanning through Instagram, going back to Facebook, answering comments. You know, it's just a social media circle or circus before I actually get some productive work done. It's just crazy. So yeah, that's one of the things that she talked about in that first module that I am really going to try my best to implement. Turn off email, turn off social media, be productive and be creative first thing before I do anything else, and then get to the other things later. I know it'll be difficult, but I'm going to try it. So if you haven't heard that interview, head back and have a listen to Kristen Kaup. And if you want to check out M School, head over to photobizx.com/M School and you can have a look at that course yourself.
PhotoBizX.com. Real advice, real strategies, and real ideas to build your photography business.
Alrighty, we're going to jump into this interview with Tony Hoffer from Hoffer Photography. Like I said earlier, make sure you check out his work before you listen to this interview because it will give you a better idea of the caliber of photographer that you're listening to. I think it adds a lot more weight behind his suggestion that to be a successful photographer, you need to make everything about your clients. Now, if you are listening to the free podcast episode, you will only be hearing half interview today with Tony. The second half is when I dive more into the marketing side of his business, how he's actually attracting the clients that he's getting. And we go a little bit deeper into some of the topics that I uncovered or Tony shared in the first half of the interview. If you want to hear that, head over to photobizx.com/try. And for $1, you get a 30-day trial. So you get to hear the full interview today with Tony. You'll hear the full interviews with the next month's worth of guests. You get access to the full back catalogue. And that's the premium versions of every interview that I've done. Plus, I'll invite you to the premium members Facebook group and you can see exactly what all that is about and why I go on about it so often in the podcast episodes. So yeah, you become a fully fledged premium member for 30 days and that's all for $1. See if it's a good fit for you. If you like it, stick around. Your membership will go to $20 per month after the first month. And I do know that if you're one of these photographers that has the ability to implement what you hear, that $20 will pale into insignificance and you will reap some great rewards financially for sure. And I'm also guessing you're going to make some new friends, become a better photographer, become a better business person and do it all much quicker than trying to tackle this thing on your own. So that's photobizx.com/try if you want to check all that out.
Welcome to another great eye for business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest is one part of the duo or the team at Hoffer Photography. Based in Philadelphia and focusing mainly on weddings, these guys discovered photography pretty late in life. They found a love for it, quit their day jobs a year later, and have been killing it ever since. Their prices start at $4,000 US, and their clients are raving about them. Here's a quote from Tony, something he said 5 years ago. There are so many people trying to be photographers now. Having a good vision and being artistic isn't good enough anymore. Run your photography like a business and you'll have much better odds of making it. I think that rings as true today as it did then, and I'm looking forward to learning exactly what that means for Hoffer Photography. Tony, welcome, mate.
Hey, Andrew, thanks. I have no idea where you pulled that quote from, so I'm as curious as you are about what it means.
Well, is it true? Is that the way you see success in photography? You have to run it like a business?
I think so. I think that's probably true. I have a feeling that my translation of that would be different now than it was 5 years ago. But yeah, I think that's probably true.
How would it differ now?
You know, I think 5 years ago, there were a lot of people getting into photography, sort of just diving in and figuring it out. And I think now it's so much easier to be really good at it. And so I guess I would say like, it almost seems like creativity has sort of been commoditized a little bit, whereas like, you know, techniques which require a lot of creativity are just posted publicly. And so like everyone learns immediately how to do a technique or, you know, something like that, where, you know, before you actually had to figure things out. So I think it used to be photographers would dive in and they would stink for a while. And now, people dive in and they can be really good really quickly. And so, yeah, I think the business end still separates things, but it probably does it for a different reason now than it did then.
Mm-hmm. Mate, I agree with you 100% with what you've just said there, because I follow even newer photographers because I'm looking for guests for the show. Mm-hmm. And I see their Instagram feed or their portfolio or their blog. Mate, they are shooting amazing stuff right off the bat. So
yeah,
how do you separate yourself these days?
I mean, for us, honestly, it hasn't – well, I shouldn't say it hasn't changed. It probably has changed a little bit. But honestly, I think when we first started, the first couple of years – we're really selfish, if I have to be honest about it, of the way we were running our business, where, you know, my only goal was like, I want to be the best photographer in the world. I want every other photographer to say that I'm the best, you know, just stuff like that. It was really just kind of selfish. And so I was trying to figure out how to do tricks or do things that people had never seen before or get noticed by other people for things we were doing. And
do you mean by other photographers or by potential clients?
I think back then I was probably focusing way too much on other photographers. The stuff we were doing was interesting and it was probably new. You know, there's a lot of things that we probably were either among the first to do, if not the first to do, which was cool. And we got noticed a lot early, but I don't ultimately think that that is, you know, while it may have separated us then, I don't think that's really a way to go now, because the, like I was saying earlier, it's so easy to figure out techniques. It's so easy to ask others what they are and, you know, work on that, you know, that I don't necessarily think tricks are a way to get known anymore, because there's so many people that can do them. And in a way, I think that's been better for us, because it's made us concentrate on things that are a lot less selfish, and it's really strengthened our business, and it's made us a lot better photographers and more versatile photographers in the long run, even if it's not getting us, you know, as many eyeballs from other photographers.
Okay. What do you mean by, you know, you're looking at different things now, or working on different things, not these tricks?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the tricks are always still part of the repertoire, but I guess what I mean is that we focus a lot of our energy now on figuring out what each particular client wants and trying to not tie ourselves into a style for everyone, because all of our clients are different. And so I think, you know, I think maybe 5-8 years ago, whatever, we were focusing on like, hey, what's one image we can take that's going to get everyone really liking us? And now, you know, now it's totally different, where it's like we approach a wedding and we say, hey, what are these clients like? What are they into? What do they love? What do they like about our work? What do they like about their wedding? Where have they spent their time? And how can we best serve them by the work we're doing? And so now I can honestly say I think we're focusing most of our energy on tailoring our work specifically to each client. And so, like, for some clients, that might mean that we don't pick up a flash all day. And like, I know 5 years ago, I probably would have thought that that person was lazy or just didn't know how to use flash. And I think now we've sort of realized that there's some clients that that's the best thing we can do to serve them. And that's what's going to make them the happiest. And if it doesn't, you know, resonate with other photographers, that's okay sometimes, because we want to, you know, build our client base and make people super happy with what we're doing. And so some people love posing and want us to set up 4 lights, and other people just want to not be interrupted and just enjoy themselves. And so I think that's where we're focusing our energy, is how can we find these things out about the people we're shooting, and how can we make our work really translate into what they want even more so than what we want?
Look, I'm in a little bit of a conundrum here, because I want to dive into how you find that out from your clients and how you deliver what they want. But for the listener, to fill them in, just before we hit record, you know, I asked you if you've heard any other interviews, you know, have you got an idea about the sort of questions that I ask? And you said, yeah, I listened to a couple of friends, and you threw out, you know, Lenny Mann and Erica Mann and Ryan Brenneiser were a couple of names. And I guess my question is, it sounds to me like those guys, those big name photographers, they noticed you pretty early on. Is that why it's easier now to focus less on what other photographers think and more on what your clients think?
I don't know. I've never, you know, those guys specifically were friendly with each other. I don't think either of us have ever asked each other anything about our own work. You know, it's usually just about, you know, last time I talked to Erica, it was giving her travel tips for Kenya. So, you know, it's not like it's, I have no idea if they care about our work or if they like it. It's, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't know sort of when we got noticed or if it even matters. Most of the relationships we have in this industry are really just from being around a little while, or, you know, knowing someone that knows someone. Like, I think the only reason actually the Manns and us kind of connected was because Fareed, one of our associate photographers, and Lanny were partners at a foundation workshop 1 year and got to know each other through that. Yeah, so I don't know that the two necessarily connect. I kind of forget your question, though. Is that what you were asking?
Let me rephrase. You know, when you started out and you had this mission to be noticed, did you get noticed? Like, did you get feedback? Did you get a feeling that big name photographers at the time, or even now, you know, were taking notice of your work?
I think so. I mean, we had a couple things that hit really big. I mean, we took a photo in like 2009, I think, which was kind of started the whole like backlit rain trend that, you know, that kind of threw up in everyone's faces for a while. And so that was really big for us. You know, that got around quite a bit. So yeah, I think, you know, some people took notice of us then, but I don't know. I mean, honestly, I would say that I really don't have a good understanding of sort of where we fall in the photography community right now. I don't know if people care about us or not, but, you know, that's fine. I'm happy we have a lot of friends in the industry that are actual friends, not really people we discuss photography with too much, and that's a lot more rewarding for us usually anyway. So
I guess the reason for my line of questioning is I'm curious to know that if you did get noticed, you know, if you have these bigger name photographers sort of noticing you and talking about you, do you see like a massive influx of bookings? Like, does it lead to clients?
I don't think so. I mean, nowadays we shoot for a decent amount of photographers themselves. Like we shoot, you know, weddings of a decent amount of photographers and stuff. So in that way, it's kind of nice if photographers are aware of us and, you know, and hire us. But I don't think we've ever gotten a wedding or anything because we have like a relationship with people that are well known or, you know, that they shared their work. I don't really remember any situations like that. I mean, all of our business has been pretty organic from the beginning, just referrals and word of mouth and stuff like that.
Cool. What about now? You know, you talked about the way you've become less selfish and focusing more on your clients. How do you get that information that you talked about earlier? You know, where the client wants to spend their money, what's interesting to them, yeah, what they're passionate about. How do you get that information?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, for us, we try to put a lot of energy, at least as much as possible, in just conversation and taking good notes and things like that. So, for example, when we have an initial meeting with someone, Amy is, you know, we try to meet face-to-face or at least over like a video Skype before we book any wedding. And Amy has a notepad, basically, and we're just writing down things that they like about our work or things that are important, where they met, you know, what they do for a living, how they got engaged, all that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of number one. And we keep that paper forever. I mean, we have it with us in their folder. But then, you know, we kind of use that to spark more conversation. So like we just had a meeting an hour or two ago. And as we were talking, we kind of found out where they started dating and where they got to know each other. And so when we brought up the idea of an engagement session and we're asking about that, we're able to kind of throw out a few suggestions based on that. You know, and it turns out that they didn't think like we'd be willing to go to the place where they, you know, ultimately was most important to them. And, you know, that's exactly where we would want to go, obviously. So just kind of things like that where we can sort of not only listen to, but connect with clients, but also sort of make suggestions that we think best fit them based on that. And so I think that's been a big part of it. And then I think another one is just sort of over time, you kind of develop a skill for feeling people out, you know, based on their reactions and things like that, of understanding like, okay, these people probably only want to spend 10 minutes taking portraits, or these people would, you know, walk to California with us and take portraits if we offer it, you know? And so obviously I think that's a skill you sort of get better at over time too.
Sure. When you're doing these face-to-face meetings, is Amy literally there with a notepad and pen jotting notes down while they're talking?
Yep. Yeah. So we actually have a form, just like a blank form that we've created and we print out. So it has a place for obviously their names and their date and their venue, but then it has just big spaces for like, you know, like what do they see as the timeline of the day? How many people are involved? Like how important is family? Things like that. And I mean, you know, most of our client meetings, our initial meetings are like maybe an hour, hour and a half, sometimes even longer. And the amount of time we spend talking about our work, I mean, honestly, might be 5 minutes. It's mostly conversation or just kind of showing them albums or things like that. But we spend most of the time talking about them and just, you know, things that we have in common or travel or food or whatever comes up.
Okay. I do something similar, but I'm only by myself when I'm doing these face-to-face interviews with my prospective clients, mm-hmm. or these client meetings. Well, I have a form as well. I guess it's similar. And I make all those notes after they've left.
Right.
I just felt a little bit self-conscious taking those notes while they were there. Mm-hmm. I would love to do it while they're there because often I forget or don't feel like doing it after the meeting. So that's obviously not an issue. The clients never comment on the fact that she's writing all these things down.
No, I mean, we usually address it like, well, I will say one thing we've learned, you know, through our workshops or things like that is people bring up stuff like that all the time. And what we've realized is it really is nice having two of us, you know? And so, you know, there's things like that I think are certainly helpful to have two of us, but usually we'll just say something like, hey, yeah, no, we just write this down so that we can sort of remember and really figure out who you guys are. We'll say something like that.
Okay, nice. What is Amy's role in the business? Is she a photographer as well?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, our photography is 50-50. I mean, we've always shot together. We've shot everything together. So we never shoot separately. I do sort of most of the back end, like running the business stuff. Amy handles all the albums. And then we have a studio manager who does all kinds of stuff and editing and all kinds of stuff for us as well. So we kind of split up the roles, but Amy is the here's how smart we are, Andrew. Amy's like the sweetest, kindest, and prettiest person ever. And she like does none of the talking or is not the face of the business. So that's that's how smart we are. We decided to put the ugly me out in front and keep her behind the scenes. And she's just shy. But other than that, everything's split up.
Well, you know, I've tried as hard as I could to get Amy on an interview today. And I think the last email you told me that you were actually going to speak in her voice in her place.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Mate, I want to get onto the team and your associate photographers and the way you run the business in just a minute. But staying with your couples and your clients, when I said in the intro that they love you and they're raving about you, mate, that is so true. You know, I Googled you guys and did a bit of research. And if I go to the weddingwire.com website, there's 50 reviews for you guys. How do you get those reviews?
This is going to sound like bad, but we don't really solicit them. We just, you know.
Get out. Really?
Yeah, we don't solicit reviews. If they come in, great. You know, sometimes every once in a while we'll have a client who like is like, you know, after we send them the photos, they'll say, hey, what can we do to kind of help get the word out? And we'll mention that. But yeah, we don't really solicit reviews.
So in no way do you ask, you know, as a favor or if you enjoyed the experience with us, can you leave a note here or there or wherever? Nothing.
No.
Wow. Okay. Do these reviews, are they, I mean, I can imagine they're beneficial because they come up pretty high when I search for you guys. Have people or other brides mentioned those reviews?
Yeah. You know, I think for us, I don't know if this is the case for everybody, but at least for us, most of our people find out about us through a referral or a word of mouth, or they see our work. And I think for us, reviews are usually used as a kind of a reinforcement where, you know, they might already like our work, or they might have seen us working at our wedding and thought we were, you know, whatever. And then if they Google us, then I think the reviews can often be seen as like, okay, people are really happy with these guys kind of thing. You know, I'm obviously not a bride, but I don't think I've ever seen someone be like, hey, we saw you had really good reviews and then we checked out your work. It's usually the other way around.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's more like a reinforcement that their decision is a good one.
Yeah.
What would you say to the listener that doesn't have the number of reviews that you guys do? And obviously the beautiful reviews are amazing.
Thanks.
You know, would you suggest that they do solicit them?
I don't know. I mean, we just never have because, I don't know, I just kind of feel strange like asking people to say stuff about us. I don't know. Just a personal thing, I guess. But honestly, the advice we always give when we're teaching or talking to other photographers is like, the work drives everything. Focus on your work. Like, make it as interesting, as creative as you can, and spend as much time as possible figuring out what your clients want. Because if you can deliver that above what you want, above what other photographers want, above, you know, anything, if you can deliver what your clients want, they're going to be exceedingly happy with you. And so that's what we try to do. That's the advice we give other people. And, you know, and I know it sounds really basic, but like I said earlier, I think we try to pour as much of our energy as we can into that. And I hope the reviews reflect that a little bit.
You know what? It does sound basic, but it almost goes against what a lot of other photographers are saying. I mean, I'm hearing so often on these interviews from other photographers that we should find a style, push away the people that, you know, don't fit in, who don't want our style. You know, we should be repelling as many people, maybe more so, repelling more than who we're attracting and attracting the perfect client. Mm-hmm. You seem to be taking the opposite approach.
Well, and I think that works for some people. I really do. I mean, I've seen obviously lots of photographers and lots of them are friends or, you know, whatever, who do great work and do very consistent work and shoot for a particular type of people and do it really well. And that, you know, I don't have anything bad to say about that, but, you know, the way that just didn't work for us. I mean, for us, I get bored easily. I love the challenge of doing different things and working with different types of clients. And we really respond our best to that. So, you know, so that works for us. And it's for us, it's been a really sustainable model too, whereas, you know, instead of trying to sort of get known for one particular style, we sort of just get known as the people that can please our clients. And there's a lot bigger pool out there.
That's pretty good. If you have a client that says, we love flash or we hate flash, will you really change the way you shoot for that day?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Incredible. How do they even decide? Like, do you show them examples? I mean, I can imagine if someone says, I love gritty, grainy, black and white images. I don't want you to use flash. I mean, that's pretty easy to do, you know, because you know what they want. How do you get that out of them?
Well, I mean, some of it's just picking up on cues. Other times they'll just tell you, you know, we have a big slideshow showing every time we meet people, or people will usually mention images of ours that stood out or things like that. You know, but sometimes it's as simple as like, you know, if you have a client who's really meshing together, engagement sessions for us are a great way to find this out. If we're shooting an engagement session and clients are just doing something simple, walking up and down the street, and they're laughing, having a good time, being really cute together, and then we bring out a light, and sometimes that just kills it. You know, it's like you can see the energy get sucked out, and then we are trying to bring it back in. And for those types of people, it's like, all right, it's not worth it for us to sort of take away from their experience by doing what we want to do here. Because what we want to do ultimately is make them happy. You know, as much as I want to make, like, you know, I want to take a photo with 35 lights in it, there's some people that just doesn't work for. And so, you know, if they're going to have a better experience one way or the other, you know, and vice versa, we have people that are quiet or whatever, or the more cool things you do, the more they ask you questions about it. Like, hey, what are you doing there? Or why are you taking a picture with your lens, you know, hanging off your camera, you know, like just stuff like that. And the more stuff you do, the more interested they are. And that's part of the experience for them, is the interest in photography and creating images together. And so that's the kind of stuff that we try to discover, is, you know, what do these people want, and, you know, what's going to make them have the best experience.
Nice. You mentioned a slideshow playing there when you have your client meetings. Is that on a big screen? Is that on a laptop? How does that work?
Yeah, see, this is the best con I've ever pulled. So we...
I love a good con.
Last year, we decided to convert our garage into like a studio and a meeting space. And so when we did it, we opened it up. We have a real high ceiling. And so there's one wall. It's a 25-foot wide and 20-foot tall wall. And so I convinced my wife that in order for the photos to look great on a wall that big, we have to get a giant TV. And so that's the smartest thing I've ever done, is I got an enormous TV right in front of people.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
They're sitting on a lounge, I imagine, facing the big TV, and you're sitting opposite them, but they can see that and you guys at the same time.
Yeah. So we have a couch set up right in front of the TV, and then, you know, we kind of sit on either side and just chat. So the images are kind of always up there. You know, we don't stop and say like, hey, you know, sit here for 10 minutes and watch this slideshow. It's just kind of going, and we can see it out of the corner of our eyes. So we'll sometimes use that. That happens a lot, where we're talking about something or using an example, and in the corner of our eye, we see like, oh, see, actually that photo is a good example of what we're talking about, you know?
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, with your business, you have associate shooters. I can imagine with the way you approach business and photography, that would have been pretty scary taking them on in the beginning. Am I right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So we got to a point years ago, maybe 2009 or so, we were just getting a lot more inquiries than we could handle. And it took us a while. I don't remember where our first associate on. It might have been like 2012, but it took us a lot longer than it should have, because that was the biggest concern for us. We were just worried about sort of how that would affect the way we like to do things. And so, you know, the biggest thing, our first associate photographer was a guy named Chuck, and he's, you know, awesome, great friend of ours. And he does amazing work, but he's a completely different shooter. He's a pure documentary shooter. And, you know, he's really talented. But when we brought him on, we did it knowing his work is actually very different than ours. And this is not going to sell as easily as someone whose work is very similar. But he was a great guy. And we knew that we had zero worry that he would be able to please his clients as well as we can please ours. And so that was the biggest decision. And so it worked out really well. And then, you know, as we've continued to go, you know, Chuck left us a few years ago, but we have two associates now. And it was the same thing. You know, the work is obviously super important, but if not more important, that we know that they're great people and people that can connect with their clients and that we can connect with too.
Sure. Let me stay with Chuck for just a minute, because I think he's a good example if he shot totally different to what you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what position was he in the beginning? Like, what made you approach him and what was the offer?
Yeah, so what we did with him is the same thing we've done with the other two guys that are with us now. Basically, we wanted to find people who were already established and had a style and were really good at what they did and just didn't want to run a business anymore. So in Chuck's situation, he had some kids, he had a full-time job. Fareed, who's with us now, is in the same position. And Jim, who's with us, you know, he works for us full-time. His associate is his main job, but, you know, he just didn't want to run a business anymore. And so for us, that was kind of how we wanted to do it, because we felt that if we were going to truly invest in relationships with our clients, we had to really invest in relationships with our associates. And so if we were basically a training center where we were like, you know, we're going to train you how to shoot a wedding, and then in a year or two, you'll move on and do your own thing, then it kind of goes against, you know, the way we're doing things. And so we're hoping our associate system is a much more long-term solution. It doesn't make us a ton of money, but it, you know, it helps our business grow a little bit, makes us a little money, and everyone's happy. So,
cool. With the associates, do they sign a contract? Can they still shoot for themselves? How does that work?
So they do sign a contract, but I mean, it's their life. They can do whatever they want to do. But what we told them when they signed up with us, because they both asked us, like, can we still shoot on our own? And we said, we want the situation to be good enough for you that you don't want to shoot on your own anymore. And, you know, we want to pay you well enough that you realize, like, between the workload I have and what I'm getting paid, there's no benefit in me shooting my own gigs. And so that's kind of the way we set it up. And I think we've worked it out that way where, you know, they're both really happy with us and, you know, with their responsibilities and everything. So it's been good.
Okay. With the contracts that they sign, is there, you know, something saying that they can't start up their own studio within so many miles, you know, with so much time after they leave?
No, not really. That's pretty open-ended. And again, I mean, everyone that we've had has been friends. And so it's more of a, you know, if you decide to leave, that's fine. And you can do whatever you want to do because you're a friend first and you're an employee second. And so the contracts are mostly just like logistics, like basically saying, this person is going to do this for us. If they decide to leave, they'll fulfill their contracts, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, sure. And you said there that they don't make you much money, but they improve the business and it just works that way.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you're making something out of having them photograph under your name.
Yeah, we make a little bit. Honestly, the first goal of doing it was to hire our studio manager full time. So our studio manager, Lindsay, she's been with us. She was with us part time for like 3 years and was just honestly the best thing that we could have had happen. I mean, she's so great. We're so in love with having her as part of the business. She cares about it as much as we do. And so the first goal with the associates was let's earn enough money from this that we can bring Lindsay on full time. And, you know, after that, the goal is to make some money off of it. So, you know, we're at the point now where we are turning a profit from it. We're doing fine, but we feel a lot better about the fact that, you know, we have Lindsay with us and it's making our life easier. It's helping me work less and, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's sort of, it may pay off in money a little bit, but it pays off in, you know, time and life a lot more.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is often more important.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see on your website, on your pricing page, that you charge the associates out for less money. I think $3,500 their prices start at than what you guys do.
Actually, that's kind of funny. So the associates, you know, we both have our packages set up. And the lowest package for the associates does not include a second shooter, but most of the packages do. So once you include a second shooter, which almost everyone does, our prices are actually basically the same. And in some cases, our associates actually cost a little more, depending on, you know, what people choose.
As far as extras, you mean, and albums and things?
Yeah, because, you know, with our associates, we have essentially five people that we're paying from it because we're paying the associate photographer, the second photographer, our studio manager, and then Amy and I are taking some for us. So, you know, there's actually a lot more cost built in when we book an associate wedding. So, yeah, so the costs are basically the same.
Then why would a client choose to go with an associate over you and Amy?
Well, the way we've tried to set it up is by basically branding our associates as separate entities. You know, that's why I said, you know, from the beginning, we didn't want to like train people. We wanted to bring in people that already had an established style and understood what they were doing, because basically we felt like we had enough of a name where we could bring other people in and say like, hey, here's another good option. It's not Tony and Amy Jr. It's, you know, it's Fareed or it's Jim. Here's the way they shoot. Here's what they're good at. If you connect with this, hire them. And so when a client inquires with us now on our contact page, it actually says, who do you want? Do you want Amy and Tony? Do you want Fareed? Do you want Jim? Or do you not have a preference? And so I would say probably at least 50% of our inquiries say no preference. And then, you know, we get a decent number for either Jim or Fareed or one of them. And, you know, people that aren't interested in Amy or I. So, and that's always been the goal. You know, we wanted to set it up where we had three really strong teams and people could choose between them, not try to get team A and settle for team B, because you're already setting, well, okay, I don't want to bad talk the way other people do it because whatever works. But in my opinion, if someone's getting the B squad, they're already sort of preparing to be let down a little bit. And I don't really want that to be, you know, a thought.
Right. Okay. And that makes sense. What happens when someone don't have a preference? Who gets the job?
So it kind of depends. I mean, we all have different priorities. I mean, Fareed has like basically a football team's worth of children and a full-time job. So he doesn't want to shoot many weddings, 10 or 15 weddings, and he likes to stay close to home. Jim will take as many weddings as he can, wherever he can, and same with Amy and I. So it kind of just depends on what fits, but usually Amy and I kind of will take first go at it if we want it, and then, you know, or we'll just, you know, have a discussion with it. If it's a particularly busy month for us and a light month for someone else, you know, a lot of times I'll tell Lindsay, you just, you know, take that for one of the guys or vice versa. So.
Okay. And if you and Amy are already booked on a particular date that a client's requesting you guys, mm-hmm. what's the message to the client?
Yeah. So basically we never tell a client, like if they request Amy and I, we never reply and say, yes, we are available, and then try to talk them into whoever's available. We respond and say, sorry, Tony and Amy aren't available, but this person is. We think you'd really like their work for, you know, reasons A, B, and C. Here's where you can check out their portfolio, and here's where you can check out their specific blog posts. And so we've done it that way. And again, I realize all of these things are probably horrible business moves, but we've done it that way because we just like people to understand, like, I'm getting an expert in my field no matter who I hire. And we just don't want people to think it's a settling thing. And so for us, it's important that they know, like, you know, the business is not Amy and Tony and then, you know, whatever other options are left. You know, this option might not be available, but we think this option is great too. And if you like it, then proceed. And if not, you know, no worries.
Why do you think this could be perceived as being a bad business move?
I just feel like there's a thought there where a lot of people will try to basically to convert any potential money into money, which is fine. I honestly don't have a problem with that, but I don't know. It just doesn't feel right to me I guess I just don't like the idea of our friends and people whose work I respect being labeled as, you know, a B option. I just don't think it's fair to them or fair to their level of work to do it. And so just because someone inquires with us doesn't mean that we need to take their money at all cost, you know. It's just my personal opinion. I don't know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Mate, this has been an absolute pleasure. I love your business model. I love what you've shared. Like I said, it's been a real pleasure, mate. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Andrew, thanks, man. It's been fun.
Hey, mate, before you go, you've got to tell us where we can check out your work.
Sure. So hofferphotography.com, H-O-F-F-E-R, is the website. Everything's on there. Like you said, we update our blog pretty much with everything we shoot, so usually a couple times a week. And then we have a link on there for workshops as well. We don't do them a ton, but when we do, they sell out really quickly. So you can get on our email list if you want to be informed about those.
When is the next workshop and what do you cover in the workshops?
So that's a really good question. The next workshop, we have no idea because as you can probably imagine from my other answers today, we try to do workshops really differently. We treat it sort of more as an actual workshop where we're working specifically with each photographer to sort of establish their strengths and weaknesses, to get critiques, to give them assignments and things like that. So it's not really a walkthrough of this is how we shoot. It's more like a here's what we think you're good and bad at, and here's how we think you can get better. Now let's go try it kind of thing. So because of that, it takes us so much time to put one on. And we usually are working, like, you know, the workshop is like 3 15-hour days in a row. And so it's a big undertaking. So every time we finish one, we're like, we are never doing that again. And so we did 2 in February. And so we're kind of still just getting over the we're never doing that again phase. I think the next one we're going to go somewhere exotic and do something a little more fun.
When you said a photographer that's in the workshop, you know, a task or some homework, do they actually do that during the workshop or you follow up with them after the workshop?
They do it during the workshop. So that's kind of why it's so work intensive for us, is because when the photographers show up to the workshop, we already basically have a packet of information on top of a few other things that we do that I'd rather not share because they're like a surprise to the workshop students, but basically a series of things that have already evaluated their work, given them assignments, and things that we're prepared to talk through and critique right from the get-go. So we kind of jump in and dive into their work right there. And then we kind of give them assignments and guide them through. So I kind of modeled it after the foundation workshop because I really respect we and a lot of those people that are doing it. But it's not a photojournalism workshop like theirs is. It's a little more portrait-oriented. So it's sort of modeled after the sort of a guided assignment type model, but it's a little different in practice.
Okay, so it sounds like you actually have models or people there for them to photograph and to go and work on things.
Yeah, so the last workshop we did, we have 10 students at each one. So the last workshop we did, we had, over the course of both workshops, we had 40 different models. So it's a big undertaking. There's a lot of hands-on time. It's not a lot of standing around. It's 9 a.m. till like 2 in the morning, you know, like just going hard for 3 days. It's pretty intense.
Wow. I'll add links to your website, obviously, and also where they can sign up and hear about these workshops and also to your social media profiles.
Awesome.
Mate, it's been awesome. Really, it has. Thank you so much.
Cool. Yeah, Andrew, thanks, man. Anytime. It's been a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Tony Hoffer of Hoffer Photography. Tony, if you're listening, mate, thank you again so much for being so open, so honest, for sharing what you did about your business and the way you run things and the way you work. Mate, you really are an inspiration. I can't believe how up to date you are with everything you're doing. I love your photography. It's bloody awesome. It really is. It's fantastic. But most of all, more than anything, I so want your voice. This podcast will be so much better if I had a voice like yours, mate. It rocks. Again, mate, thanks. Thanks for coming on the show and thanks for sharing what you did. It was a real pleasure. For you, the listener, I hope you got as much as I did from Tony. If there's something that I missed, if there's something that you would like to ask Tony, then hit him up in the show notes over at photobizx.com/183. I know that Tony will be happy to come back and answer your questions there. We might even get Amy to come and answer a question or two if you've got something for her, even though she wasn't on the show. We're going to try and get her on next time we do an interview with these guys because I just know I'd love to have them back. Now, talking about the show notes and the comments, if you want to check out anything that Tony mentioned in the interview, I've got links to all those things in the show notes. Again, they are at photobizx.com/183. Links to anything and everything he mentioned. Links to things that I've talked about before and after the interview as well. It's all there. And the comments area is right at the very bottom. So add them there. With your comments on the PhotoBizX website, I use a plugin called Comment Love. And what that allows you to do is link to a recent blog post or a particular page on your website with a do follow link, which is valuable to you. It helps your SEO. It's not as good as having a link from the main body of the website, but any link back to your website is a good thing for SEO. And the reason I do use that plugin is because I'm just looking for ways that I can help you with your business, you know, whether it's with the content and the questions or things I hear about, links to your website, you know, whatever I can do to help you with your business and make life a bit easier for you to get found, get noticed, make more money, get more bookings, attract more clients, you know, whatever it is. If I can do something to help you, that's the plan. That's what I'm attempting to do. And just talking about those comments, you know, if you just want to say thanks to Tony for coming on the show, I know that he'd love to read those comments as well. You know, it's a pretty big thing for a business owner, you know, to come onto a show like this and really share their secrets of the way they run their business, their thoughts, why they do what they do. That's a pretty big thing to be giving away. So yeah, you know, I know that Tony would appreciate any thanks. And, you know, if there's something that you picked up from Tony, something that he shared in today's episode that you know that you're going to be using in your business or you'd like to use, then let him know because he'd be rapt to know that he's helping as well. You know, everyone likes to know they're doing good. So yeah, I'm sure he'd appreciate that and he'd love that. Two big shout outs for today's episode. And the first one goes to Boston wedding photographer Carl Heyerdahl. He found PhotoBizX via Mark at ShotKit. I interviewed Mark because he also owns the business Gold Hat Photography in Sydney. He had some very cool ideas about getting known in your local area. If you've moved to a new area or you're trying to get established, get back and have a listen to that episode with Mark because he had some terrific ideas. He also runs the amazing website over at shotkit.com. I am not a gear junkie. I don't think I am anyway, but it's really hard to resist not checking out Mark's site and having a look at the different gear that different photographers are using, how they use it, why they use it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But don't go there and expect not to have gear envy. It's very difficult. I've gone totally off track here. I wanted to say thanks to Carl for leaving that iTunes review, mate. I really do appreciate it. I'm so glad that you found PhotoBizX. It's great to have you listening. I love in your comments that you've written that you had to pull over while driving to a wedding recently because you're listening to an interview on PhotoBizX, heard an idea that you want to implement in your own business, had to pull over to write that down. That is awesome. I love that. This next big shout out goes to Darren Daz Mack in the UK. He is a wedding photographer in Durham, and he's a premium member as well. I love what Darren writes here. He says, I subscribed to this podcast after I'd listened to an interview with a photographer I admired. It is the best business decision I've ever made. Mate, that is awesome, mate. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the comment and for putting it down in a review as well. It's just fantastic. It's great to have you listening, Daz, and I really do appreciate you taking the time to leave that review. So I've added links in the show notes to your websites, Daz and Carl, using the keyword phrases that you're looking to rank for. If you are a reasonably new listener and you're wondering why I have this shout out segment, it's for a couple of reasons. The first one is because reviews inside iTunes is a massive help for the show. It helps people looking for a photography business podcast to find the PhotoBizX podcast. iTunes really is the go-to place for podcasts and where people go to find new podcasts. So by having lots of reviews and positive reviews, it does help this podcast get found. So that's one reason. That's not really why I have the shout-outs, though. The shout-outs are so I can and say thanks to you if you leave a review for either show, for the PhotoBizX podcast or the Photography Experiment podcast. And not only do I say thanks on the show, because I really do want to say thank you for taking the time. I know it takes a few minutes to do it. It's a bit of a hassle. It's time out of your day when you could be doing other things. But it also gives me a good reason to reward you with some SEO juice, for want of a better term. I've recently changed what I'm doing here. So if you do leave a review for either of the two podcasts, let me know that you have left the review. Let me know if you have a different iTunes username to your real name, so I know who left the review. Also, let me know where you'd like me to link to using whatever keywords or keyword phrase you're trying to rank for. And you'll see in the show notes for today's episode, both Daz and Carl, they're looking to rank for particular keyword phrases. I've used those and linked to particular posts or pages on their website that they've asked for using those keyword phrases. So that makes the link more powerful in regards to SEO, because not only is it using a keyword phrase that these guys are trying to rank for, it's also a do follow link, and it's coming out of the main body of the post for today's episode. And because PhotoBizX.com ranks so well and the site's becoming bigger and bigger all the time, it's gaining more authority as far as Google's concerned, so those links become more powerful. So that service, if you like, is there and available for you. So if you leave a review, whether it's in iTunes or Stitcher, and it could be for either podcast, let me know that you've done that. Let me know the keyword phrase that you're looking to rank for, and let me know where you'd like me to link to, and I'll happily do that for you. It'll be my pleasure. It helps me. It helps you. So if we can create a win-win situation, that is awesome. That is really, that's a good thing. And just quickly before we move on, if you haven't checked out the photo, the Photo Experiment podcast, but I have to be careful because if you search for that, you won't find it. You have to look for the Photography Experiment podcast. And experiment is spelt with an X, P-E-R-I-M-E-N-T. There's no E on the front of experiment. I don't know if that was a good or a bad thing. I was trying to be cool with the spelling, because I love the fact that it starts with an X, like PhotoBizX, but it makes it harder to find. So that's where those reviews really help. But anyway, in regard to the Photography Experiment podcast, in the last episode, I interviewed Paul Rogers from the UK. This guy's an amazing photographer. You've got to check out his work and also that interview. He was a real documentary photographer for one of the leading newspapers in London, the Times newspaper. He left that to become a wedding photographer. So, you know, when people talk about being a photojournalist, this guy is the real deal. And he has some insights on photography, documentary style, the industry, and a whole lot of other things that we go deep into in that podcast. There's no premium membership. It's 100% free. You hear the full episode every single time. It's a totally different format. It's just a conversation and nothing else. So head over and check it out if you haven't yet. I know you're going to love that conversation with Paul.
Connect with Andrew on Twitter. You can tweet him at Andrew Helmich.
I've got a couple of quick announcements before we close out today's show. The first one, premium members already know about. I received an email from Zach Perez. He's the guy who wrote the SEO cookbook. I've also interviewed him on the show. He knows a lot about SEO. That's his thing. Anyway, he sent me an email and he says, "Hey, Andrew, I hope you're doing awesome. I'm launching a new ebook on Monday, September 19, 2016. It's called Perfect Facebook Ads. It will have a launch price of $79. It'll be $99 after the launch. The book material was written in partnership with an agency that runs ads for medium-sized businesses, so the info in this guide is current, it's comprehensive, and will save readers thousands of dollars. He goes on to say that PhotoBizX listeners can get a free 10-page sampler from the guide, and I've got a link to that. If you go to photobizx.com/Zach, Z-A-C-H, so photobizx.com/Zach, that'll take you to the starter guide. It covers some of the things that we've talked about in the podcast before, particularly with the Bernie Griffith Facebook ad challenge. I'm expecting that the book itself will go into a lot more detail. So I'm looking forward to that one when it's launched. So yeah, if you want to check out that 10-page sampler, that's the link. I've also got links in the show notes if you haven't got time to go there now or check it out. And just quickly, if you are a premium member, you should have received an email from me about this guide. When it does launch, I don't want you to buy it because I'm going to try and do something pretty special for you guys. I don't know if it's going to be a bonus or a special price, but yeah, just hang off if you're a premium member because I'm going to be doing something special for you. But before then, if you want to check out the sampler, do that and see or get a good idea if it's going to be a good fit for you and your business.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
I don't normally talk about workshops on the podcast, but there are a couple of workshops from previous interview guests that I wanted to talk about or let you know about. The first one is from one of my absolute favorites, Anna Puma from the UK. She is hosting the Kick-Ass Photographers Workshop. It's only small. She says it's an alternative wedding photography workshop to get you out of your comfort zone, get you booking awesome couples, and help you take super fun wedding photos. It's being held in the south of France. The venue is amazing. It's for 3 full days from the 10th to the 14th of October, 2016. You can get the full details and the program and what Anna is offering at kickassphotographers.com. But here's the amazing thing. Included in the £850 cost, that's UK pounds or British pounds, is the 3 full-day workshop, 4 nights accommodation and meals. It's incredible. But here's the kicker. Here is the best thing. She needs to get numbers sorted really quick. I don't know if there's any spots left. I think there might be a couple. And she's offering 50% off if you're a PhotoBizX listener. That's 50% off. That is nuts. If I was in France, I would be going to this. Or if I was in Europe, I'd be going to this. That is for sure. Anna is awesome. You're going to come away with a crap load of stuff if you go and do this course. And you're going to have a great lot of fun. I know that just after talking to Anna a couple of times that I've interviewed her. And go and check out the course. If you can get there, I think you will absolutely love that you did and made the effort. Now, the other workshop I did want to tell you about is being held by Craig George. He is another UK-based wedding photographer, but Craig shoots most of his weddings outside of the UK and all over Europe. Get back and have a listen to his interview if you haven't already. I've made it available to you if you are a free podcast listener as well. And this workshop is a little bit different. It's not designed to be a theoretical event, he says. It's not a mindset workshop. It's exactly how he runs his business. So how he shoots, the emails he sends out that converts inquiries to clients, how he charges and why he charges what he does. He's offering everything about the way he runs his business. And if you want to check out the full itinerary and the course content details, I've got links to it in the show notes, or you can go to craig-george.com/workshop. And go and check out Craig's work as well. It's totally different to Anna's. Anna's more fun, quirky, in your face, laughing, yeah, all that kind of stuff. And Craig is, I guess, darker. I wouldn't say grungy, darker, raw, gritty, romantic. Just, yeah, totally different. Go and check out both their websites, get a feel for what they do. Have a listen to their interviews at PhotoBizX. And if you want more info, get in touch with them or use the links in the show notes and go from there. Alrighty, that's going to wrap things up for this episode of the show. Thanks again to Tony for coming on and sharing so much about his business. That was fantastic. I hope you got as much from him as I did. I look forward to chatting to you in the Premium Members Facebook group or inside the comments area for today's show notes. I'll be back next week with another episode, another interview. Until then, have a great week and I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.